For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. It is April 6, 2021. We are heading into WrestleMania, two nights of WrestleMania before we return next year to the Snyder Cut of WrestleMania, which is 12 hours long. But you know what? I got some good guests today. They're not always good guests, but these two are. These two are. Emily was great yesterday, but we got Steve. We got Larson of Going In Raw. How's it going, fellas?
It's going good. How are you, man? How are you doing?
You know, it's the life of a Quizzlemania champ. What can I say?
That's a bad move, dude. Don't start out like that, please. That's sour grapes right there.
It's a sore subject. It really is, man.
If you guys are watching this video, please leave a thumbs up. Please subscribe. Tap that bell for notifications. Get a super chat in. You'll get your question or statement read on the air. But I'm gonna hit you guys with a little plug. So let's see if I can pull this graphic transfer off. Probably not. Who cares? Look at that. Fightful Magazine. The first edition is up. It's a digital edition, sort of a proof of concept. FightfulMag.com. Got Joe Hulbert, Molly Bell, Taylor Hendricks, Brandon Thurston. So many great writers contributing to this. Features on Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair, Edge, so much more. A Sergeant Slaughter, LJN prototype figure even. There's so much in here. Jimmy spent an absurd amount of money on that. And hopefully he doesn't spend an absurd amount of money running a magazine. But here we are, FightfulMag.com. But that's not all, my friends. If you want to make your WrestleMania predictions and earn a little money doing it, how about this WrestleMania pick'em? I'll go over here for this one.
You gotta split yourself in half.
WrestleRumble.com. First place, $1,000. Second and third place, $100. Our moderator, Hannah, has won six belts and $2,100 over the last few months on WrestleRumble.com. Wow. It's fantastic. Also, the NXT Belt Bash, just $1 gets you entered. First place wins an NXT replica title, second place a North American title, third place NXT tag titles, and then there are fourth and fifth place mystery belts. One of the most recent mystery belts that I've seen were those classic WWF tag team titles that I love so much. Oof. They'll be doing a live drawing after the show. Check it out. They're also doing a Stone Cold belt giveaway, a Legends of WrestleMania belt giveaway, where you can win a custom WrestleMania moment belt. Just $1 per entry on that, too. You got Smoking Skull belts at stake. The Brahma Bull belt that was never even released, that's at stake as well. So much cool stuff at WrestleRumble.com. I personally play this every single pay-per-view. I love it. You guys will, too. WrestleRumble. com. Now, see, StreamYard really needs to step this bad boy up.
Yeah, dude.
These transitions easier.
We use Streamlabs, and it's like I just jab at keys left and right, hoping that stuff works, and it barely
does.
Sometimes it feels like working. Mostly it's just bound together by scotch tape.
You got that right.
It's the struggles of No big company like Google just saying, you know what, we're going to run this streaming stuff and make nobody else do anything.
They had it in the
palm of their hands, but they didn't do it. We got a super chat from Enforcer Stevie Bradley.
He says,
he says, hello, Steven Larson and SRS, ready for a hell of a streaming week. Are you all ready?
No. Never. But we have to do it anyways. I mean, like, we don't have a choice. It doesn't matter if we're ready or not.
We'll go run a mile or two today in preparation.
Well, we do have a choice over who we get to predict for these WrestleMania matches. We're going to start with Steve for night one. And then on night two, we'll have Larson go first. But we're going to kick it off with the Tag Team Turmoil Top Contender match. Riot Squad, Mandy Rose and Lana, or Mandy Rose and Dana, Lana and Naomi, Carmella and Billie Kay, and Natalya and Tamina. First off, I want to ask you, Steve, do you think that any teams will get added, because there's a lot of people, a lot of women that are not on this card yet?
I feel like Billie Kay and Carmella are probably going to get added to it, because like they sort of teased that.
Oh, they screwed up and announced it on .com.
Was that already announced? Okay, yeah. Goes to show how much I pay attention. So yeah, I feel like that's going to happen. And as much as I would love for them to go ahead with this, I just get the feeling that Lana and Naomi are kind of the thing. They like dress the most similar to like compared to everybody else. And I don't know. I kind of feel like they're just the bigger thing. Like Lana and Nia Jax had that really long going storyline. Naomi, former women's champion, is kind of a big deal. I don't know. I have zero. So on our channel, on Going In Raw, we put confidence points on everything. And this is literally a match that I have the least number of confidence points in. And it's this one. But I'm going to go with Lana and Naomi. I don't see any compelling reason for anybody else.
Larson, how about you?
Yeah, I got Lana and Naomi as well. That's the story, even though it seemed like maybe they might have put that aside when Lana beat Nia in that tables match on Raw a number of weeks back. But I don't know. It's the most compelling story of the teams. I mean, it's basically the only story between the champions and challengers of any of the teams thus far. You know, there'll be an interesting dynamic between Carmella and Billie Kay. And, you know, if anybody's going to come kind of out of left field to win it, it might be them. But no, I think Lana and Naomi are kind of the more obvious pick to go with. So that's what I'm going to go with.
So as I look at who's not there and this is a tag team turmoil match, I'm like, man, I think Bayley and Charlotte might get added to this because
what?
I mean, it would make sense. Well, it wouldn't make any damn sense, but it's WWE. within the scope of WWE. It would. They're on different brands, but it's on a pay-per-view, and then they're probably going to win the tag titles, and then they'll be on both shows, and then they'll both probably be going for world titles after that because that's how they book the tag titles. But, like, there's no Nikki Cross. I wish they would add Chelsea and Mickey just for the sake of doing it, but that's not canon, so they won't do it. But I think Bayley and Charlotte will, unless Charlotte gets added to Rhea and Asuka last minute as a troll, which I think is possible too.
Yeah. But here's the question. The real question is, will Charlotte and Bayley be able to coexist?
I think they will.
That's the biggest story in WWE. Can two people coexist?
Shout out to WWE on Fox for trolling me with that last night. I appreciate them. Chris Kaufman sends a super chat, says, hello, friendos. Who's going to have the manic pick?
Look at all these super chats we're bringing to your channel, man. The Enforcers, our stream partner. Kaufman's literally our intern. Look at all these super chats we're bringing to Fightful over here.
You're bringing in the USD. I'm here for the GBP, that exchange rate, my friend. Sarah Jane Deegan says, what's up, guys? Who's ready for Mediocre Mania? In-ring, it'll be phenomenal. But, oh, boy, is this a show built on wet farts? Hashtag main event, Banks versus Belair.
What a great term, wet farts. I like that. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, Speaking of wet farts, Braun Strowman against Shane McMahon.
Match of the year potential.
Steve is so excited about this one.
Super excited about this.
Strowman's going to throw him off the top of the cage, and then Shane's going to win, and Shane's going to go, well, you're stupid.
Larson, what do you say about that? Because
he already did it. He did that to Kevin Owens. He did that to Kevin Owens a few years back. Threw him through the announce table. Here's what I'm hoping for, because if Braun loses this match, he's done.
Yeah.
As a main eventer, he's done. So, I'm hoping they reference that and he has Shane at a position on top of the cage where he literally has him in his hands ready to throw him off and goes, oh, I can't do that. I'm going to lose. And it's going to be these constant situations. It's going to be like a mini sitcom in a cage match, where he's going to be in the situation where Shane's going to try to trick him into losing the match. He's going to say, can't do that. And then not do it.
I hope the booking is that smart. I hope. I just have no confidence.
I think because here's the thing. I don't actually think it's that smart. I think that because they've made this about smart versus stupid, they're going to make it so obvious that Shane McMahon is going to be trying to do everything he can to trick Braun into losing the match, and it's going to be comedy spot after comedy spot, and it's going to be like, oh, they're doing this. In the end, I think that it's going to be one of two things. Either Braun did something backstage to warrant this feud and he will lose, and they're actually punishing him. That is completely and totally believable. Or Braun's going to win by outsmarting Shane in some way, shape, or form. I think that's probably going to be it, because I don't think they'd go so far as to punish a guy on that level. But that's got to be the thing, because it's not going to be a power slam and then he walks out, or he goes over the top. Nobody wants to see Braun like even jump from, like, you know, just from the bottom of the cage to the floor, because he'll blow out his knees. But yeah, I think that it's going to be goofy as hell. It's going to, and Elias and Riker are going to show up in some way, but in the end, Braun's going to outsmart them and end up winning.
When I heard steel cage match, I was like, that's the exact opposite of what I thought would be a good idea. Cause I thought they put this on the opposite night of Owens and Zayn, because somebody's getting thrown off a pirate ship one night, and then the next night, another big spot.
Mm-hmm.
You split up your male, female main events, your big spots, your celebrities. You do that. That way both nights get something. I hope this doesn't stay in the cage. I'm hoping we get a very, to even draw this comparison, Vince McMahon and Steve Austin-esque cage match, where a lot of the action happens outside the ring. But, oh, man. Ricardo Holt says, hello, friendos. I just want to say he's a regular here. So wasn't you guys.
Oh, all right. All right.
Yeah, we're spent, dude. We're spent. We brought two people to the table. The rest of the years, man.
And Alto says, good morning. Woke up early.
Alto! What's up, Alto? Hey, Alto. Never mind. That's one of ours.
I'm hoping he's on the West Coast or in Hawaii if he's saying he woke up early. And Ricardo says, I can confidently say they'll F this up. This is probably just about us doing the stream, not even about WrestleMania.
I mean, that really honestly should be going in Raw's catchphrase. I hope these guys don't F this up.
We got Seth Rollins versus Cesaro. I mean, the build is Seth Rollins doesn't want to get hit with a Cesaro swing, but I'm excited for the match. Very excited for it. This seems like the type of thing where Rollins would just go, I'm bulletproof, let Cesaro win. But how do you feel, Steve?
I think that is what everybody who loves Cesaro wants to believe. Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins is 6-1 at Mania. Yeah. I think this actually, and that this sucks. I know this sucks for people to hear. It does more damage to Seth Rollins to lose, even with his stellar record, than it does Cesaro. It's his first WrestleMania singles match. I think Cesaro gets his win by swinging the hell out of Seth Rollins. In the end, Rollins pulls off some sort of sneaky victory where he doesn't necessarily, like, you know, end up stomping Cesaro, but he ends up getting some sort of sneaky win where Cesaro's like, damn, you know, what a bummer. He doesn't look bad. He gets his swing in, but Cesaro is not, Vince loves Seth Rollins. Everybody there at WWE seems to love Seth Rollins. He's got the thing going right now with the suits. His character is a ton of fun right now. And I don't see any way that I see Cesaro's hand being held high here. I just don't.
To correct you, he's 6-2 at WrestleMania.
Oh, he's 6-2?
Last year.
Research, to be honest.
A WrestleMania stats piece on this. But last year was the first year he didn't win a match at a WrestleMania. Because even when he lost to Orton, he came back and won the world title that night.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, okay. I didn't scroll back in my Wikipedia match results. I forgot about 31. That's right.
In front of fans, Seth Rollins has won at every WrestleMania that he's competed at to some degree.
Yeah.
He has become a key cog for them in that regard. Larson, how you feeling about this match?
I don't disagree with anything Steve has said, but I think to a degree, Seth's stellar Mania record, he can afford an L.
Yes.
Cesaro, he needs this. I know you can say he can get the moral victory, so to say, doing the swing. Yeah, people will pop for that. However, what have people been clamoring for years with Cesaro? You know, give him a push, a singles push. He's a great tag team wrestler. He's been an established tag team force in the company for years. People want to see the company get behind Cesaro and give him a push. Will the company do that? Probably not. But I'm hoping it will start here. I don't have a high degree of confidence in it, but I feel like Cesaro gets the win. This won't be their last match, I'm guessing. This will probably be one of those feuds that extends past Mania. If that's the case, it's entirely possible Seth gets to win at Mania. Cesaro wins a blow-off down the line. But I don't know. I feel like Cesaro, he'll swing him like 50 times, put on a sharpshooter. Seth's not going to tap. He'll hit him with the neutralizer and get the win.
Do you think they're going to go for a record-breaking swing here?
I think that's going to be
Cesaro's 3 minutes of swinging.
really need to do a thing while in the Thunderdome where they go into a commercial with the swing. He lets it off during, and then you come back and he's still swinging. I thought they would do that with a vertical suplex, like to like maybe Lashley or somebody just holding him up there through a whole commercial break. It's wild that they haven't done that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fun.
Josh says, "Cheers, friendos."
Josh, Jay, what's Mark up, Josh?
You all dragged that one in. I'll give you credit there. Chris says, "Happy to see three of my favorite wrestling guys that even make some of the most dreadful shows entertaining." I mean, I'd much rather be talking about wrestling than some other stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, if that's if we can bring some joy to the joyless programming of WWE, that sounds so bad. I actually like the majority of WWE's programming. It's just Raw can be a slog, as everybody who watches Going on Raw knows from us talking about it. Raw can be a 3-hour slog sometimes.
Yeah. The baseline for me is if it makes sense, I'm probably going to like it.
Exactly.
If competence anything, is a new excellence on Monday Night Raw.
Exactly. If there's anything that references anything in the past and it actually follows through with it, it's like, whoa, they've unlocked the most basic ingredients of storytelling. Great. Awesome.
Ricardo Holt says Cesaro deserves a winning moment at WrestleMania. Yes, he does. Especially since they effectively retconned his Andre win and made it nothing. We're leading into the big celebrity match, so it's probably fitting that Ryan Lambert says, "Hello, friendo, Steven Larson. Tell SRS about your Damian Priest donut story."
You have us here now.
So Sean, I need to ask you, is that why you invited us to do these predictions with you? Because you want to hear the story firsthand?
I do.
Yeah. All right. Let's all go back to the final day. Starcast, the initial one is Chicago. We're in essentially the basement of that hotel in the conference area. It was the last day. We're tired. I was like, "Hey, let's get a pick me up, not just for us, for everybody there. Let's get some donuts." We got a dozen. We brought them to our booth. We just had them out there. Everybody wants a donut can have a donut. Not too many people took us up on our offer, so eventually we didn't be stuck with all these donuts. Went to Joey Janela's booth, offered him a Penelope Ford donut. They're like, "Ah, maybe later." They did come back and get themselves. At least Joey got a donut.
True.
So it was the end of the day. Basically, no one there. I got this box of donuts. I walk up to Punishment Martinez at his booth, and I say to him, "Hey, Punishment, want a donut?"
Did you call him Punishment?
Yeah, I did. And he just looks at me and goes, "No, I probably shouldn't." And I was like, "All right, cool, man. Have a good one."
And it was moments after that he got signed to NXT. Coincidence or no?
Oh, he's like the smoothest dude too. Like he really is. Like he is effortlessly cool in real life. Oh my God. I just love the fact that you walked up to him and said, "Hey, Punishment."
Punishment. Not even the real name and not, "Hey, Martinez."
Oh, hey, God. Joe says, "Howdy, friendos. Let's see how accurate these picks turn out."
Joe, what's up, Joe?
Hey. Well, the thing is, how many of these finishes have actually been decided thus far?
Oh, no kidding. Yeah,
we all do realize the absurdity of predicting stuff that literally has not been decided yet. It's brilliant.
So here's what I even suggested. I don't think they should decide who wins until they get out there. I think they should have two finishes set up for every single match. They should wait to see how people react to each person. Then you send the finish back from Gorilla. Say plan A, plan B. I mean, that's the most intriguing part is how the hell is anybody going to act to literally anything?
How about this? You plan for a third option and it's shoot. Okay. You got this guy wins, this guy wins. But then you whisper, you go to the ref. All right. Shoot.
And they Lana just, and Naomi they just shitting figure, their pants.
They just figure it out amongst the exactly. Yeah. Broken ankles everywhere.
Oh, I am a Lucha says, "Happy Tuesday, friends. Here to rep for the babyface Dong Lord. Am I the only one that feels like the joy of Mania week is over at the final bell of TakeOver? Or will they give us a genuine Mania moment?" I think the matches will be very, very good at WrestleMania.
I'm hyped for Mania, dude. I think that up all the way through till the main event of night two, I think that Roman Edge Bryan match is going to be off the charts good. Mm-hmm. I think you add Daniel Bryan to anything and it immediately gets a million times better. Yep. I want to see the spectacle. I think they're going to go all out because there's fans there. Sort of, you know, we got through this COVID stuff. or at least in Vince's head, we've got through the COVID stuff. It's a thing of the past now. And it's full steam ahead. I'm looking forward to it for the spectacle alone, but the matches are going to be good too.
Yeah, all the talent will deliver for sure. So it'll be worth watching for that reason, if nothing else.
Dom says, if Ruby and Liv don't win, I riot. Well, buddy, you better get your stuff ready. But Bad Bunny and Damian Priest, they're winning this match. It's a celebrity match at WrestleMania, and it's not a battle royal. So they're winning.
Yeah, yeah. That's not even, yeah, there's no question there.
Yeah, they're winning.
New Day taking on AJ Styles and Omos. I'm very interested in what Omos can do, because they were going to call him up before WrestleMania last year, and they nixed it. And he was not in-ring ready then. I don't know how in-ring ready he is now, but Steve, where are you leaning this way?
He's going to have to be ready, because he's going to be a tag team champion. The build to this has been all, I mean, with the exception of Omos getting off stuff on Xavier and Kofi, it's been all New Day getting out these wins, these silly wins. What, Larson, what was the AJ Styles record? Is like he lost three in a row.
Oh, he's lost his last three matches, they said on Raw last night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. After they protected him and didn't have him lose any singles matches for like 4 months to the point to where people were like, oh, him and Triple H.
So no, I think that they're definitely going to be new tag champions. I'm just bummed out that they didn't that they busted up their Hurt Business, didn't have them keep the titles and make this a triple threat, or even just Hurt Business versus AJ and Omos. The New Day have much better chemistry just with the characters they play with AJ Styles. The stuff has been really funny they've been doing. I think that they've had the upper hand way too much for this not to clearly be. They're not going to debut this awesome attraction in Omos. Hopefully he can do some basic stuff in the ring and just look good and just have him lose. He's picking up these tag titles.
Larson? Yep,
totally. When we were doing a Raw recap last night, I made the reference to the build-up to Survivor Series where AJ seemingly couldn't do anything right. Yeah. And what happens? Team Raw swept Team SmackDown. Mm-hmm. This seems to be the thing they do with AJ, the build-up to a huge match. He's basically hapless and then pulls out the win when it matters most. I think that's going to happen again this year. As Steve mentioned, New Day have had the advantage for the vast majority of the build to this. The go-home math with Xavier Woods rolling up AJ last night in Raw favors AJ Styles. AJ and Omos, I think they're going to be new tag champs for sure.
I need to do a stat piece on that, like on who goes over the Raw before the pay-per-view and who goes over on the pay-per-view. So I get the feeling that percentage is pretty high to the point that you made there. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say one of our friendos a while ago had like a spreadsheet or something on that match.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it wasn't as lopsided as you think. I think it was in around 60-65%.
I think if they won before the pay-per-view, it's in like in the mid-50s. Mm-hmm. But standing tall, they may have lost a match. But if at the end, you know, they attack and beat up their opponent and stood tall, or whatever, then the math favors them by like 60-40 or something like that, I think.
Ricardo says it's a given the in-ring will rule that build, though. Oh, I think it's one of the worst builds I've ever seen for WrestleMania, period.
It's not been
good.
Nick Wolf says, liberal California elitist takeover of Kentucky. Friendos unite. Sean, what does it feel to have a co-host that isn't a Taylor Swift stan? Love these collaborations. Well, it's phenomenal. Let me tell you, it is fantastic. It is great.
You believe me, you'd get sick of us within an hour of doing any more of this.
You know what? I've beaten you guys on Quizlemania so many times.
Okay, move on. What's the next match?
What's the next match?
It's gonna be like 20 minutes, right? Are we done yet?
It says message retracted. I don't even know what that means. 69 names Deegan says, Larson, that was the greatest donut-based story in history. If Rhea doesn't win, I'm going to be pissed. Let her be champ forever. # free Shayna from Nia's tag team hole. That is a hole you got to climb yourself out of.
Hole.
Yeah.
And Jedediah says, I think they dropped the ball huge for AJ this year, but at least we're getting Grand Slam Styles. That'll be cool. That is cool.
Yeah.
Be very cool.
Well, also, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, WWE Championship. I think Lashley should win this. And it is one of those, let's see how they react when they get out there things. Right now, I'm sitting here thinking, man, Lashley should really go over. I thought they built him really well. Steve, what do you think?
Man, I was with you until a couple weeks ago, they completely changed the person that he was. We talked about this on our Raw recap. Mm-hmm. When he won the title, I was over the moon happy. I mean, just for the person, just for the human being, Bobby Lashley. I thought that everything he said, I thought that they towed a really great line with him being this Hurt Business badass. And at the same time, you know, being genuine on the microphone. I thought that when they decided to suddenly, because seemingly somebody's worried about the possibility that people would be cheering for Bobby Lashley over Drew McIntyre, they just made him an out and out sort of one dimensional heel. They kicked Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander out of the Hurt Business. He tried to enlist the aid of the 24/7 division to take out Drew McIntyre. It just seems so obvious in that moment that they were like, okay, we need heat on this guy. It seemed manufactured. I wasn't a huge fan of it. I'm still not. And I think it's all just to get Drew that win in front of fans, which he was denied last year. I'd be happy if Bobby Lashley won. I just want the Bobby Lashley that won the title a month ago, as opposed to the Bobby Lashley we get now, who just doesn't seem like the same person. So I think that they're going to have Drew McIntyre win this one because of the steps they've taken to make Bob Lashley bad guy Bob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
Larson, 100%. How do you feel?
100% agree. The moment he stepped in the 24/7 locker room, putting that bounty on Drew's head, I said to myself, oh, he's losing at Mania, isn't he? like right now they've changed course with Lashley's character to such a degree that he speak from segment to segment, he's saying things that contradict what he said earlier in the show or the week prior. Last night, during the main event, he had that brief little interview backstage and he's asked, so who do you want to face at Mania? And what does he say? I really want to beat up Drew. Then why put the bounty on him? Yeah. You know, it doesn't make sense. The promo he dropped the Raw after he won the title, the interview he did backstage was amazing. It was fantastic. You know, I like Steve, and I'm sure like a lot of people, overjoyed that Lashley finally got a title run. Everything they've done since then has been seemingly to telegraph that he's losing at Mania. Which is a bummer because I think he's got that awesome new entrance with the lightning. And if that just screams Mania victory, but everything else they've done is making it seem like he's going to lose. I think Drew's getting that belt back. He's going to have the moment in front of fans that he didn't get last year. I feel bad for Lashley. He's going to have a month long run with the belt. Hopefully he'll have more in the future, but I got to go with Drew.
I hope this match kicks off the show for multiple reasons. One, Bianca and Sasha should main event. Mm-hmm. Two, Drew McIntyre deserves the first pop. Not Hulk Hogan. Drew McIntyre does.
Drew
McIntyre busted his ass. They had him go out there the night after WrestleMania and say, I'm going to give this title shot to people who deserve it. And they said, where's the Big Show? Let's get him out here. Seth Rollins just lost to WrestleMania. Let's get him out here. Dolph Ziggler knows him. Let's get him out here. Who we got? Goldberg, he's around. Him too. Randy Orton, four times. Let's do that one. It was the exact opposite. They did this guy no favors, and he still did everything that he could to put on a great show. Well, the hot topic is the main event. KK says Bianca's birthday is the day before Mania. Makes me a bit more nervous for the match. Main event, Banks versus Belair. It seems like such a slam dunk, easy decision for me for multiple reasons, but WWE loves those optics and having two women of color main eventing WrestleMania, especially when you got two main events, seems like such an easy decision to make. And, you know, I can't put myself in the position of a woman of color, but I can tell you what Shad Gaspard and MVP did when Kofi Kingston won that title at WrestleMania. They were in tears. They cared about it. We're talking about traveled veterans that obviously this meant something to. So this could mean a lot to some people. There could be little girls that watch this match and say, I saw that and I thought, you know what? I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, Steve, who do you think is going to win and does this main event?
Well, it should. It absolutely should. And it's going to be one of those things where we'll hear either from Fightful or we'll hear from any number of other people, possibly that, oh, Vince still isn't sure. He's, you know, in the days leading up over this coming week, he's not sure. He's leaning towards this. He might do this. But clearly it should main event. It 100% should main event. I'm very excited that Bianca is working with somebody like Sasha Banks. Part of me really wanted to see Bayley in this match, just because everything Sasha and Bayley touch just turns to absolute gold. It's I don't know where Bailey is, and it's kind of disappointing that she's not around. Sasha versus Bianca should be an absolutely crazy good match. I think that Bianca's going to win this, because especially if it main events. I mean, this is going to be a face win heavy Mania because of what it is, because of the fans and the Peacock thing. And Sasha has totally transitioned to arrogant heel. Sasha also is a very savvy business person. Yes. And so it also wouldn't shock me if she were to make the case backstage, hey, you know, Bianca needs her own Bret Hart Stone Cold moment, where in 97 she loses but comes out of it looking much better, and I get to keep the title. So that wouldn't shock me either, because Sasha, I don't think, has won at WrestleMania.
No.
And so it wouldn't shock me if she did that, because I think she's got quite a bit of say. Or it wouldn't shock me if she did. Anyways, I don't know. She's been around a long time. It's a big draw. And she's the veteran who's main eventing if she does main event. That being said, I think that what they've told with Bianca Belair's story lines up more with she needs to win and send the fans home happy. It's a big, it's a much buzzier moment if she wins than if Sasha retains. So I'm going to say they're going to pull the trigger on Bianca Belair.
And I think there's a real story to be told in years future that Sasha Banks can't win at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But I don't know if they're interested in telling good stories. Larson, how you feel?
I'm on board with what Steve's saying. I think it'll be really telling that if that match does main event, then it seems like Bianca has to win. You know, they need that feel good moment at the conclusion of night one. If it doesn't main event, I don't know. That it kind of puts it somewhat in doubt. But yeah, the story they've been telling, it would seemingly lead to a Bianca win. You know, who knows what's going to happen on SmackDown? That might give us more of a tell about what direction they're leaning. But then again, that kind of seems like SmackDown this Friday is going to be WrestleMania Night One pre-show. So you know, who knows if they even do anything? They might just do a promo bit with them and give us no indication of which way they're leaning. But yeah, I think Bianca has to win. I think she will.
Night one, leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. Send a super chat like Robert Ray says, my wacky fantasy booking idea, Rhea and Bianca win, then Becky and Ronda return. Rhea versus Ronda, Becky versus Bianca. I wish. And a white brownie says, hey, Oswald, think about the future.
That is such an inside joke.
Oh, wow.
It's even too crap. That's from our, we do. Hey, if you guys want to play GTA with us and understand what that was all about, go to throw us a become a channel member on YouTube for going.
Or if you're just a huge fan of the movie JFK.
Tremaine says Vince and Cornette have similar views on women's wrestlers. They don't really matter if you can't sell them. They can sell a lot of the women on their roster right now. They've got a really talented one. But night two, WrestleMania, Riddle versus Sheamus. Sheamus has been losing big matches in perpetuity. Riddle, I mean, we've seen this match 100 times. It's good every single time. But how do you feel like this is going, Larson?
Sheamus continues to lose huge matches. Matt Riddle's got birds. He's got CG birds now. They obviously spent a lot of money on those CG birds.
no leg off. Slapping, but get those birds out there.
Get those CG birds. I don't understand the reference, honestly, but whatever. He kicks off those slides. Birds fly. If that's not win CGI graphics, I don't know what it is. Matt Riddle's going to roll out of WrestleMania on his scooter, still U.S. champion.
Or Steve, rather.
Yeah. No, because didn't Sheamus just pin Riddle like cleanly? Not that like a couple weeks ago
to get the mat. So
that was his win. That was his win. Yeah. They obviously look. I actually am going to be. I'm not going to pick him for our competition. But. Yeah, no, Riddle's going to win. I want Sheamus. Sheamus, I do kind of believe that, you know, give the guy who's been working really hard a good reward, like a title. Yeah. And I want to see that for Sheamus, because honestly, he has turned around from a guy who I just did not want to see on my TV. For whatever reason, over the past 6 months to a year, this dude is like a walking G1. Like, yes. He just puts on match, and I'm like, oh my God, this dude is a worker all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. It's been great to see the chemistry he's had with guys like Riddle. His stuff with Drew was a lot of fun. I like the stuff they were going, where they were going with Keith Lee. Don't know what's going on with him, but yeah, no, I Matt Riddle, Vince seems to love Matt Riddle. And I think they have such a great combination. The goofiness outside the ring can be a bit much sometimes, but I still am very entertained by it. Inside the ring, he is still the beast he always was, and he's only getting better. Matt Riddle's going to win and retain.
Yeah, I think so too. We have Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. We've got some Logan Paul. I always get them mixed up. One of them is going to get me about 30,000 views in a couple Saturdays by boxing somebody. The other one is doing this gimmick. Sami Zayn is bulletproof. Like, he can lose and just keep doing what he's doing. I think that probably happens, but Kevin Owens is falling off of something or jumping off of something, Larson.
Yeah, no, he's made it plainly obvious and clear that he wants to jump off that pirate ship at Raymond James Stadium. And they incorporated that. I thought I saw somewhere that they incorporated the ship into the stage, right?
Yeah, maybe the entrance is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, so Kevin Owens, yeah, he's jumping off that boat. Will it be to his detriment? I don't know. Sami Zayn's been doing such incredible work lately that Steve was talking about Sheamus being rewarded for all his hard work. They could see, they could see Sami doing awesome work week in and week out, rewarding with the huge win over Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. That being said, when it's kind of a coin flip match, I think to myself, this is going to be a feel good show. Yes. It's going to be a feel good show. So if it's a 50-50 proposition, I'm going with the face. Kevin Owens is getting that win. He needs a pretty huge win after losing everything to Roman Reigns. So yeah, I'll say Kevin Owens. He jumps off the boat, does a swanton off there, puts Sami through a table or something. Stunner W for Kevin Owens.
Yeah, my heart goes with Sami Zayn because he's literally my favorite thing in pro wrestling right now. He is doing such amazing work. I mean, he was so sweaty during his promo with Logan Paul. Like, I thought he's just that trailer was fantastic. But like Larson said, if it's a toss up, which this kind of is, I mean, I feel like for the guys, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, I don't think they care who wins this match. I think that they just love being in there with each other. They want to steal the show. They want to do something crazy, like Kevin Owens coming off the pirate ship, whatever it is. But Kevin Owens has been doing really good work himself. He had that long feud with Roman Reigns at the top. And I feel, and Vince really seems to love, he seems to love both these guys. But he's always had an affinity for Kevin Owens. And I feel like just like last year when he had his big Mania moment, I think Kevin Owens is going to keep on racking up these Mania moments. And maybe he'll climb his way back into a top title scene. I think he deserves it. I've always felt the guy had, I think that Kevin Owens still has potential that WWE hasn't tapped into by far. I think we've seen like 30% of what the dude can really bring to the table. And so, yeah, Kevin Owens, I think, is going to win. Feel good moment. You're absolutely right.
Have a bunch of super chats. Matt Mikowski says, I won't say it has to be Sasha, but Sasha versus Bianca is going to be a banger, which leads to Sasha just showing she's a more experienced worker. She does eventually lose to Bianca, though, maybe SummerSlam. I think that's one of the tired tropes of WWE. You can never just do a match once. You got to do it like three or four times. Like, just sometimes do it once. Tremaine says WWE has made Riddle's character even harder to watch, so we can't be excited for the match. I can be very excited for it. It's going to be a good match. I know it'll be a good match. I actually think they might end up getting less time than most of their Raw matches because of the nature of this, and I think it'll be a sprint, which Sheamus working that pace. Ooh, boy.
Yeah, that's really fun. That could be fun.
Tay Boogie says, my fantasy booking is Sasha loses this year and wins next year. Fatal four-way horsewomen. I want to main event a Mania so badly. That's a slam dunk main event too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Horsewomen four-way. It's just, they got to do it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. If you keep, especially the corner that Bayley really turned with her character this past year, like the stuff she did with Sasha, the ding dong hello stuff has been so, I feel like she's finally at that level with everybody else in terms of her character. In ring, she's like, in my opinion, she's unmatched in the women's division or even most of the men's division. To me, she's like the Daniel Bryan of the women's division. She's just, anything she touches is great. I'd love to see that main event.
Totally.
Wicked Crazy Crew TV says, do you guys see the possibility of a huge return at Mania? Who could you guys see? And out of all these matches, who do you think that return could impact? I think there's a real good chance we see John Cena come out, hit an AA on somebody, or Becky Lynch throw an armbar on somebody, or one happens night one, one happens night two. I don't know if it'll affect anybody long term because John Cena ain't hanging around. He's busy doing Wipeout or whatever the hell he's got going on. Lots of movies. And Becky Lynch is doing that whole mothering thing. Larson, how about you? Do you see any returns?
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool if they could write a check large enough to get Brock Lesnar off his couch in Canada. Yeah. and show up at Mania at night one after the McIntyre-Lashley match. Maybe they could have an impromptu match where Drew could beat Lashley and then defend the title again against Lesnar.
They would love that.
Beat him in less than 5 minutes this time. Just really cement him as number one guy on Raw.
How about you, Steve?
Brock would be great. I'd prefer to see him after Roman holds that title high at the end of the main event. Lesnar comes out and they're like, oh, Robin Hood's next. We got to go. That's what I'd like to see. But otherwise, you know what I'd like to see if, and it doesn't seem like they're going to do it. They're going to do it live apparently, but, Orton versus the Fiend. If they try to do like a live-ish version of the Firefly Funhouse where they're referencing Randy Orton's past,
yes,
to sort of get an update on where Cena is in the Firefly Funhouse purgatory would be kind of cool, because obviously him and Randy Orton have a lot of parallel. They go back a long ways. I think bringing Cena in for some weird cameo appearance in that match would be kind of interesting.
It was weird to me that they didn't immediately announce this as a Firefly Funhouse match, which we can go ahead and talk about right now. I think the Fiend's going to win, but there's so much source material to draw from in this. And also, I've seen them wrestle before, and it was not good.
No.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't want this to turn into Bray Wyatt, the seventh grade audiovisual nerd, showing worms on the floor again. Do the House of Horrors deal. Wasn't Orton in that too? Jesus Christ. Yep. Do that where half of it is the video. Then they go out, they do the finish in front of the crowd. Because even if I'm in Tampa Bay, I'm thinking, you know what? Let me go take a shit. Let me get some popcorn. I'll watch this on the monitors. Do whatever. I would be surprised if WWE doesn't. Well, I won't be surprised. They should, though. Embrace cinematic matches mid-pay-per-view more for that if they're going to be 4 or 5 hours in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you all feel that this match is going to go?
I got The Fiend picking up the W. I mean, Randy Orton burned him alive. You'd think he would get the win in the blow-off match, but, you know, WWE, you never know. I am really surprised this isn't a Firefly Funhouse match because, as you mentioned, Sean, there is so much there to work with Randy Orton.
Penis so handshakes and shitting in bags, and that's all that stuff that they reference on.
Yeah, yeah,
yes, all that stuff. And I'm just guessing, since this is the first show in front of fans, they want everything to happen in front of the fans. They don't want to take a 20-minute detour where everybody has to watch the Tron. Even if it'll make for a better storytelling experience, we're gonna have to sit there. Maybe they'll project some Firefly Funhouse crap on the ring. You know, that worked so well last time, especially when Steve and I were there live for that particular Mania, and we were pulling our hair out trying to understand why the extent of Bray Wyatt's demonic powers was having a good relationship with the guy in the production truck. Maybe, you know, hey, maybe they'll find a way to reference that in this match creatively, successfully, and kind of wrap up that, because one thing the Firefly Funhouse that was mentioned extensively was, from a creative standpoint, Cena's win against Wyatt at Mania 30.
Yes,
how that kind of did set back the Bray Wyatt character from a creative standpoint. Maybe they'll acknowledge that with their Mania 33 match, reference it, kind of, you know, do something to kind of expunge that from the record, and in the process, the Fiend will get his win.
Steve,
I'm not I know the Fiend. I'm officially picking the Fiend. I'm not sure how many confidence points I'm going to have on it, though, because at the end of the day, we said this back at 33, and I know it's different times now, and they really feel like they have something with the Fiend. But, like, you know, I know that Randy Orton set the man on fire, but at the same time, the man is like a horror movie villain. That's what the hero is supposed to do. And I still feel like they think that Randy Orton might be the hero in this story.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know if he is or not, to be honest with you. I mean, I think that it's been way too drawn out because they wanted the Mania match and they just started the feud way too early. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not sticking to this, but like, it wouldn't shock me if this ended up being a lot more boring than,
oh yeah,
this might end up being closer to 33 than Firefly Funhouse. And I hope they prove me wrong, but I kind of feel like that's going to be the thing, as much as they're going to want to. And I hope I honestly think they will reference 33, but I don't think that they're going to be clever enough to cover up what's just going to essentially be a regular wrestling match, a guy in a silly suit and Randy Orton.
This is like the third reboot of The Fiend, and The Fiend is like the fourth reboot of Bray Wyatt. They lean on the fact that he's creative and he can get away with it for a while, but nothing says perpetual WWE belief like Bray Wyatt. It's gonna be good this time.
yeah
and then Tremaine says, hey, nothing you can say, nothing's gonna change what you've done to May. Need that to be in the match. That's what I'm hoping for. Myron says, biggest WK in a while, Masters and WrestleMania. Yeah.
The Masters is this weekend?
I didn't even know that. I had no idea. Matt Payne says, who do you see winning the unofficial pre-show malarkey on SmackDown this Friday? Think they get an actual story? No, because it's there. And I had people saying, well, why do you care if it's not on WrestleMania? Because it doesn't have a story anyway. Well, lucky for you guys, I'm a miracle worker. They script the shows. They can make it matter. There you go. Fixed. Yep. I did it.
Yep.
Who do you guys think are going to win the Andre?
Shinsuke's put on some muscle lately.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Shinsuke.
He's all that surfing. He's out there swimming in the surf. Building up that upper body. Yes. You know?
Ricardo Holt sends 5 super chats that say the same thing. Oh. And I appreciate you for it. He says, if Ciampa doesn't come out looking like Dragunov, I'll be amazed. Thoughts for TakeOver. Well, we did a prediction show on TakeOver, and now I can't get rid of the super chat. There we go. But I think Walter's going to win. I don't think the person who is going to beat Walter is even there yet. Everybody always asks, who should beat Walter? And I say, I don't know, and neither should they. any thoughts on that match?
Oh, Walter's going to win. It just depends how much he's going to turn Ciampa's chest into hamburger. Is it going to be PCO levels? Probably not. But you know, that's the only real question in my mind is how blistered and bruised and red is Ciampa's chest going to be after the match? Maybe his neck too, because Walter likes to chop in the right in the base of the neck too. So
I love those back chops.
Shout out to StreamYard. He didn't send that super chat 6 times. It's just showing it to me like 8 times. StreamYard. I got all excited. I was like, oh man, wants it.
Cha-ching. Yeah.
Tremaine says, I'm nostalgic for Sammy's old entrance being sang by the crowd. I hope. Yeah. Let's see. I think we've got through most of the super chats, but we got Big E, Apollo. Oh boy. So the match will be good. Apollo has not won 6 intercontinental title matches since November. The only thing I hate more than 50-50 booking is 15-85 booking, where the 15 gets the title. And I bet that happens, Larson.
Wow. This feud kind of reminds me of when Apollo had the U.S. title and faced MVP at like 6 pay-per-views in a row. And you think at a certain point, MVP's got to get one of these. He even made a brand new belt for himself. Still lost it. I'm feeling that's the way this is going to go, and Big E's going to win again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was trying to do a little bit of research on when wrestlers bring their own match to the table, and the math on it is kind of uncertain. I got like Ambrose Asylum. Ambrose won that. House of Horrors was Bray Wyatt's thing. He won that. Firefly Funhouse was Bray's thing. He won that, I guess.
Yeah.
He erased John Cena. It's kind of the ultimate win there.
That's a W there.
But then, like, I don't know. It's also, you know, the Hardy compound stuff. Matt Hardy always wins that stuff. But then I think there's some Matt that swings the other way as well. I think the fact that this is, I think that because they have sort of calibrated Apollo Crews with the accent and the backstory and the new gear, which looks amazing. I get the feeling that they're more certain with who he is than Big E with his solo run and who he is really. And I think for that reason, and it's Apollo's match, the Nigerian drum match, I feel like he's actually going to pull this off. I think he's going to win, and then Big E's going to have to chase him, and they'll just sort of start establishing really who Big E is in his new solo career, which is now not really new anymore. So, yeah, I actually think that Apollo's going to win this.
Abdullah says, hey, friendo, showing support for my three favorite. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much.
And Bezo Bank says, I meant to send this earlier, but I need a KOD being countered into a bank statement midair. Ooh. The pop that would get.
Oh, wow. That'd be awesome. Oh, wow.
I'm just excited to hear anything. Because, I mean,
oh, I know.
I don't know about you guys, but I would assume like a fair part of my reviews before a year ago was who got what reaction?
Yes.
And that hasn't even been a consideration.
Oh, man, this isn't a reaction or this.
No. Yeah.
No. Fake-ass 2K20 noise. I don't want to. I'm tired of that.
Wrestlers have told me that they hear the piped-in Thunderdome noise now, though. Like, at first, they didn't.
Oh, wow.
I was really curious about that. I was really happy when I got my notification from Fightful Select. I was like, oh, Sean's doing the good work here. Look at that. Yeah. Oh, they do hear it. They do hear it.
Sometimes I wonder if these wrestlers are like, who gives a shit? But I'm like, I do. That's why I'm asking.
I do. Steve totally does.
Like, I just want to find out how every single thing works. That's all I want. I did like 12,000 words on the Royal Rumble, just learning how that worked. Like, that's what I want to learn. Mm-hmm. Throwback says, do you guys see them using the worm projection during the match? Like, like Alexa laughing on the ring mat? Does Alexa affect the match? Yes, I think she does. I think they will reference it, and then Orton will be fake scared again. I think we'll see that.
Yeah.
It's oh boy. James D'Souza says, I can't watch WWE at the moment. I'm happy you're Quizzlemania champion. I'll see you on next week's show. No way to wrap up 50 plus hours of wrestling TV, like being on the air for 3 more hours. I tell you that much. Not getting to pee for half my waking day. But we have Asuka versus Rhea Ripley. Oh, so I'm glad this match is happening, but the sad reality is this was plan D.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be Lacey Evans versus Charlotte, and I think no matter how bad Asuka versus Rhea Ripley's build was last night, it couldn't have been worse than whatever they were going to do with Charlotte and Lacey. I think they should really have Rhea Ripley win and be very, very dominant until Ronda Rousey or Becky Lynch come back, and at which point maybe she's not anymore. Larson, how you feeling about this one?
It's hard for me to not compare what Rhea did during her really impressive run around Survivor Series a couple years back, where she pretty much came in and dominated that whole weekend.
Yes.
At TakeOver, at the pay-per-view, and the build-up to it. She was beating everybody. She seemed like a huge deal then. And if they had really capitalized on her momentum then, I feel like, you know, fast forward here a couple of years, a year and a half later, she would still seem like a really huge deal. Her popping up on Raw 3 weeks before Mania and challenging Asuka, to me, it just doesn't feel like a huge deal. No, nothing they've done to book this makes this feel like a huge deal. And part of it is probably because I know this was planned, as you mentioned, D. You know? And it bums me out because I have this fear that Rhea is going to walk into Mania for the second year in a row, lose. And now, as a full-time member of the Raw roster, that's going to be a bit of a setback for her. Everything that happened last night in Raw just leads me to believe that Asuka's going to win here. Rhea's got this thing, especially last night, where she's like, oh, you know, I'm like one step ahead of Asuka. I have this plan. I'm going to hash this plan. It's going to go off beautifully. And then during the course of the match last night, it seemed like in one stretch, her plan kind of backfired. And maybe to a certain extent, she had to react hastily and knock Asuka off the top rope. And so her team lost. I don't know. It just kind of feels like, so, like so much of the build to Mania, this just feels so rushed. It just feels like, I don't know, just based on what happened last night, I feel like Asuka doesn't get the W. Asuka needs a WrestleMania victory. And sadly, I feel like it's going to come at Rhea's expense.
Steve.
Yeah, I think that I agree. I think that there's a tale of two Rhea Ripleys. There's Rhea Ripley in NXT, where even in her last match, the last man standing against Raquel Gonzalez was amazing. Great. And then there's main roster Rhea, where we got, like, you know, when the Survivor Series stuff was still NXT Rhea. What we have last year was her getting screwed out of that win against Charlotte. And then this year, she's going to get screwed again out of a win against Asuka, even though Rhea Ripley should be a massive, massive deal. She should come in dominant, winning. I just haven't seen anything in her main roster run, which admittedly has been a grand total of a couple weeks, to make me believe that they have that much faith in her that she's going to go in, debut WrestleMania, and win debut singles match on main roster. And when, well, I guess it's neither of those things, huh? Because that happened at Mania last year. But anyways, yeah, no, Asuka's totally going to win. that's what's going to happen. Because I just think that, I don't know, I'll see it when I believe it, you know?
So, yeah, that leads us to our main event. We have a couple more super chats. Tremaine says, my Sami Zayn chat just gave me an idea. Over the next year, Sami turns face. They build him up to face Roman in the main event of Mania. He wins and everyone happy cries. That ain't happening. That is not happening. 69 names Deegan says, out of two nights of TakeOver and two nights of Mania, what matches are you all most excited for? For me, it is Bianca Sasha. It is Raquel Io and Cole O'Reilly. How about you fellas?
Walter Ciampa. Anytime Walter wrestles is must watch for me. Bianca Sasha. And I'm really interested to see how they go about booking Finn versus Karrion Kross, because especially after Kross said in his promo bit last week, or his vignette last week, back to basics for him. I want to see him wrestle like he was in Future Stars of Wrestling out in Las Vegas. Catch wrestling. You know, when they first show up in NXT, they're really pushing this scary monster dominant guy, and I just don't think that's his strong suit. So, you know, maybe we'll see a 2-hour catch wrestling exhibition. That's my hope. Exciting stuff. What about you, Steve?
Yeah, I'd love to see that too. But no, it's clear Walter is my favorite thing in wrestling right now besides Sami Zayn. So I'm looking forward to Bianca versus Sasha. I'm really looking forward to the main event, Roman Edge, Brian. I think it's gonna be a killer match. I think it's gonna be so good. But yeah, Walter versus Ciampa, just those chops are gonna be next level. More people are going to know about Walter, what he's all about. I think he's been doing stellar work, even over there in UK. Like, they don't use him very often because he's this looming, scary presence, and everybody's trying to get to his level, and nobody's able to do it. And it's fantastic. It's what it should be. So, I'm looking forward to those matches.
Main event, Edge, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns. I fear that Bryan's here to take a pin. If I were WWE, unless you got something real juicy and creative for Roman Reigns, I wouldn't be taking that title off of him. He has been the best thing about WWE TV. Larson, the main event, night two. How you feeling?
So for weeks, my thought was, if Daniel Bryan is put in this match, it's because Edge is winning that title and they don't want Roman to eat a pin.
Yes.
I've softened on that somewhat, but damn it, this is the hill I'm going to die on. WWE, they don't care a whole lot about stories. They care about moments. And they'll maybe try to put enough story there to make the moments feel weighty enough that you'll remember them. Their success rate, I don't feel like, is terribly high. But 10 years to the day when Edge had to retire. That right there is enough to make a huge moment. He shows up. The build of this has been all over the place. Before they put Daniel Bryan in it, honestly, I wasn't that invested in this storyline. Daniel Bryan makes everything better. Sean, I think you're correct. Daniel Bryan is in this match to eat a pin. That's pretty much the sole reason he was put in. Thankfully, a welcome side effect of that is he's made this feud interesting again. I feel like to a certain degree now, the story's kind of shifted a bit away from Edge versus Roman to Edge Daniel Bryan. We've seen Roman beat Daniel Bryan a couple times already. If he beats Daniel Bryan again, oh well. Edge pinning Daniel Bryan, that's something we haven't seen. That's a moment. Edge holding that title. Fireworks going off all over the place. Maybe people cheer, maybe people won't. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's the moment WWE wants. I think that's the whole reason they had Edge win the Rumble. Edge walks out, Universal Champion.
I think that might have been the story that they were going to tell, but they clearly have changed direction because he's a bad guy now.
Yeah.
And I think that Edge is at this point least likely to win. If they want to explode the non-existent roof there at Raymond James, they will have Daniel Bryan go in with everybody thinking that he's going to eat the pin and get the win.
Oh, boy.
However, I wonder if I think it would be most fascinating, the best story, if everybody thinks Daniel Bryan's going to go in there and eat the pin, and Edge eats the pin and Roman wins. Roman's going to win. He is 100,000% going to win this match. It's just, it turned into, okay, what story do we want to tell? And how are we going to send people home happy? That's where Daniel Bryan comes in, because everything Daniel Bryan touched turns into something way better. And as long as Roman Reigns, he can be a bad guy and still get a ton of cheers for winning this match within the match being kind of in a vacuum. If he for once finally has to bust his ass against these two amazing competitors and no Jay, no Paul, none of that stuff, none of those shenanigans, even as a bad guy, as head of the table, okay, we're at WrestleMania, the main event of the main event. I have to prove that I am the head of the table by myself. Oh man, he's going to have the biggest ego coming out of this, because he's going to end up winning a classic, classic triple threat match. And Edge might eat the pin here. And I want to see Edge be the guy coming out either on Raw or SmackDown the following week or that week and be like, oh my God, I ate the pin. Now I'm even more desperate. Now you get to see even more of this ultimate unhinged opportunist. That's, I think, a story that could be really compelling.
That's assuming Edge sticks around after Mania much longer. You know, that's another reason entirely possible. I mean, here, I thought with Edge,
win the title.
They can have that moment with Edge on WrestleMania. You want to pop some ratings on SmackDown, have Edge versus Roman on SmackDown the Friday after. Roman could beat Edge, get that belt back.
Damn. WrestleMania 37. Fellas, I appreciate you being generous with your time. This went much longer than I had anticipated, but you know, you guys are high profile guests. So
we like to talk a lot, Sean.
We are. Yeah. So how about you all tell the people where they can see you talk some more?
Well, you can go to youtube.com/going. Stephen Larson. Is that
Stephen
what it
Larson.
Is?
Yeah, we don't know Larson. Our own URL. Yeah, Stephen.
You can
Larson,
go to,
yeah.
You can go to twitch.tv/Stephen Larson after every big North American wrestling show. And watch us recap it. And then, our podcast is also wherever audio podcasts can be found. Going in Raw, just search that. And then we're probably one of the top options there.
It's a good show. It's a good time. These fellas are good people. And I appreciate you guys spending so much time with us today. WrestleMania 37 this weekend. Thank you, fellas, so much.
Thank you,
Thank you
for having
us, Sean. A lot of fun.
And good luck with this week. I know you got a lot of work going on.
Yeah.
At least we got two of us.
We got a last-minute super chat. James D'Souza says, I think Roman will lose. I think Daniel Bryan will win. Ooh. I don't watch it, but you guys keep me informed. Well, we appreciate you, whichever show it is. Mm-hmm. And if you want to stay more informed, how about this? Fightful Select preview up on our podcast platforms of the next two days. Steven Jensen. His Weekender podcast covers all the non-WWE and AEW stuff. There's going to be 5 hours of audio up previewing the IWTV stuff and the collective.
Wow.
Check it out, guys.
Yeah, Fightful Select. Go subscribe.
Go subscribe
to Fightful Select.
Please. Until next time, guys, we're out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.